It's time for Radio Cals, a weekly program from the Central Arkansas Library System. Every Wednesday from 6 to 6:30 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 FM, we'll share with you conversations with interesting Arkansans on primary sources, Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, interviews with some of your favorite musical artists on Arkansas Sounds, content from the Butler Center's collections, information about what's happening in the library system, and much, much more. We invite you to let us know what else you want to hear by contacting us at radiocals@cals.org. This program is presented by the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies and the Cals Communications and Public Relations Department. For more information about Radio Cals, including links to resources mentioned in our segments, please visit the Butler Center's blog at butlercenter.org. Arkansas Sounds presents the public premiere of AETN's documentary, Dreamland, Little Rock's West 9th Street, at Cal's Ron Robinson Theater on Friday, March 31st at 7 p.m. The film explores the culture of Little Rock's 9th Street corridor, the music of the Dreamland Ballroom, and African American history in Arkansas. Experience the sights and sounds of this once vibrant business and entertainment district and learn what led to its decline. The screening is free and open to the public. For more information, visit butlercenter.org or call 320-5728. More than 300 events, including story times, film screenings, book sales, concerts, lectures, and more, are happening at Cal's. Pick up the Spring Programming Guide at any Cal's branch or visit cals.org to view our full calendar of events. It's all here.
It's time for Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, a regular feature on Radio Cal's. That's Rex Nelson, who's head of corporate communications for Simmons Bank and who writes the food blog Southern Fried, and Paul Austin, who's executive director of the Arkansas Humanities Council, talking about Arkansas food, festivals, and folks.
Well, here we go again. I'm Rex.
I'm Paul.
And
let's chew the fat,
shall we? It's time to chew the fat. And we chewed a lot of stuff on our recent visit to Hot Springs. What
we did.
Good weekend in the Spa City.
It was a fantastic time. State finals in basketball. I was thinking, Rex, what did we see, five games
We saw
Friday?
All of six games and part of another.
Fantastic.
Now, they play 14 over 3 days.
Yeah.
They play, there's seven classifications. You have seven boys' championships and seven girls' championships. So if you really, really love high school basketball, you could sit through all 14 games over a three-day period there. They play four on Thursday every year, four on Friday, and the other six on Saturday. But shall we say our rear ends could only handle about 6.5 games.
Yeah,
there.
we had to have breaks for food, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
Need to eat.
Have to eat.
Have to eat. We started the day at Political Animals,
yeah,
which was good. And I will say, though, I was impressed, Rex. I thought it said something that I hoped would carry over for our weekend. Turns out it didn't. But you had a salad for lunch at Political Animals.
I did, but I was just
rare.
Preparing for our weekend in Hot Springs. I loved to eat my way through downtown Hot Springs, which we did. There is a lot going on in downtown Hot Springs these days. We didn't stay at the New Waters Hotel, but
stayed at the old Arlington.
Yeah, certainly walked by the New Waters Hotel and its new restaurant, The Avenue, and it just kind of gives a whole new kind of cosmopolitan feel, does it not, to Bathhouse Row?
When we were walking back that Friday night to the hotel, it just didn't seem like we were in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
It was really that's a beautiful street. Central is a beautiful street.
Well, it was named a couple of years ago by the American Planning Association as one of the 10 great streets in America.
Yeah.
Along with Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C., Broadway.
Yeah.
In Manhattan. I mean, in Central Avenue in Hot Springs was up there. And my rant, because as you know, I've probably written 2 million words on the subject of downtown Hot Springs since the Majestic burn 3 years ago. The big fire was in February of 2014, but my rant was that we had this national treasure, not just the national park, not just the bathhouses, but the historic buildings that surround them, the mountain trails that surround them. And then in essence, having grown up in that part of the state, I had been watching downtown Hot Springs kind of run down for about 50 years, mm-hmm. and that we, yeah. it wasn't just a Hot Springs thing, it was all of Arkansas, and we should be ashamed for letting this happen. And sometimes out of tragedy, good things can happen. And I think that fire woke people up how important Hot Springs is to our culture, to the fabric of this state. And there's been a lot of activity downtown in these past three years, and I think the best is yet to come.
And it's not you walk down Central, and it's not just T-shirts and ball caps shops and tacky souvenirs, but mm-hmm. really some upscale clothing stores, some wonderful art galleries there that rival anywhere, I think. And then the Waters is the new boutique hotel that's really nice, mm-hmm. really fantastic.
Yeah.
And then the restaurants, of course, are, well, we got up Saturday morning, if you remember, couldn't even get close to the pancake shop.
Like
50 people outside in line.
Yeah.
And then we went to the Colonial, and it was full. But
and
we
had
managed
to share a table with a couple of visitors, and we're proud to take their money from Louisiana. They were up for the weekend.
Yes.
But, you know, the state tournament was a lot of fun. And, again, hats off to Hot Springs in that their convention center is such a beautiful facility. I really think that Steve Arison, who heads their Convention and Visitors Bureau, is frankly one of the best in the country.
Yeah, I think you're right.
At what he does. And they keep that facility looking as good as it did on the day it opened to me, Paul.
And Rex, there's not a bad seat in that house for mm-hmm. a basketball game. Not a bad seat.
No.
And it was full.
Yeah.
I mean, there were loyal fans that traveled a long way to watch their teams
absolutely. It holds a little less than 7,000 people, which I think is probably the right size for a state the size of Arkansas. And again, the beauty of that tournament is people can stay in downtown hotels, eat in downtown restaurants, never have to move their car even for 2 or 3 days if they don't want to, and walk back and forth. But you and I have talked about basketball tournaments before. We went up in December to the old historic Northeast Arkansas Invitational in Jonesboro and talked about this on this show. But the state tournaments really drive it home, and that is that you get just this such great mix of Arkansas people. You've got people from some of the most rural counties in the state. You've got urban folks. Yep. You've got students. You can tell older men who probably come every year for all 3 days. And it's just a great mix of Arkansas, seeing people from every part of the state.
We saw back-to-back games, Fort Smith, North Side against North Little Rock,
mm-hmm.
and then Shirley against Guy Perkins.
Yeah, so urban and rural. Yeah, very different.
Very rural. Yeah.
Very different.
And they had fans with them. A lot of fans. In fact, then we saw, I guess our first game was Jonesboro and El Dorado.
We started the trip on a Friday, and it was the first Friday game, tipped off at 3:30 on a Friday. El Dorado and Jonesboro, so you had two good high schools, two Arkansas towns that I really like with a lot of pride, and they both brought big crowds, and there were very few empty seats, even though it was 3:30 on a Friday afternoon.
And still, I think Jonesboro won. I think were they 32-0
undefeated season. Yeah, first time in decades
for a Jonesboro
team to go undefeated. So that was a lot of fun. But again, going from bigger Arkansas towns to a lot smaller, then we turned around and we watched Hoxie versus Valley Springs girls in the next one, Lawrence County, where you're from. What town in Lawrence County are you from?
Imboden, Rex.
You
don't like to talk about that very much. I don't want to seem too much of a braggart, but yes, I'm from Imboden.
Now, you're from the hillbilly side of the county. Hoxie, of course, is on the Delta, the more cultured side of the county, Paul.
I wouldn't put it that way exactly, no. Heathenistic would be maybe the way I would say it, but that's, you know, we love our Lawrence County brothers on the bottom side, as we like to call it.
Yeah, from the east side of the Black River. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, but Hoxie won the state championship.
Yeah, Hoxie wins the state championship. Valley Springs has a great high school tradition. Of course, Valley Springs is up in the Ozarks. So, again, you couldn't have two parts of Arkansas more different. You got a mountain town playing a delta town. But Valley's got a long high school tradition. A lot of Arkansas sports fans will remember James Dickey, who was an Eddie Sutton assistant at Arkansas and went on to become the head coach at Texas Tech University. James is from Valley Springs. His younger brother, Randall, who also was an assistant to Coach Sutton and one of my classmates at Washita, played basketball there for the great
you
Bill Vining.
You went to Washita. I didn't
there
know
we go. played basketball there for the great Hall of Famer Bill Vining. But Randall and James, their dad was the longtime high school basketball coach there
at
Valley Springs.
Yeah.
So they've got a tremendous tradition dating back from decades. And even though the crowds aren't quite as big, I'm not sure I don't enjoy watching those smaller classifications even more just because it means so dadgum much to these communities.
Yeah. You know, we both commented, and the gentleman that on Friday that were sitting behind us from Benton, three longtime basketball fans that we enjoyed visiting with, we all commented just randomly about how well coached these teams were. And I got to thinking later, well, of course they are. They're in the finals of the state championship.
Good point.
Of course they were well coached. And they all really were well coached, disciplined, really good teams. Of course, I was glad to see Hoxie win. I don't think Hoxie has ever had a state championship. Don't know if they've ever even been in the finals. But I was telling you, you know, I'm from Imboden, but I attended Sloan Hendricks High School. I don't know if I've mentioned that.
I think you have. Yes. Maybe once or twice.
Right. But Hoxie was the first gym that I played in, and maybe Walnut Ridge was before them, I don't remember, that had glass backboards. All the teams that we played in our little one
had wooden backboards.
Had solid metal or wooden backboards.
Probably most of the gyms were WPA era.
Gym that I played in was built before the WPA.
Oh, wow.
Built in 24.
Oh, wow.
So going to a place that has the glass backboards, you could see through them, was a real advantage, and typical of Hoxie trying to cheat Sloan Hendricks. We have to cut that out. I'm not sure if I'm saying that.
So many of those old WPA gyms, now we use the term multi-purpose facility, but they were multi-purpose before we came up with that term, because a lot of them had stages at the end of the basketball court, you'll remember.
We used to play in the one at Dalton that had a concrete floor. It was the cafeteria, gym, and the auditorium.
So it had a stage and a concrete floor, with lines painted on it. Yeah.
The facility at Sloan Hendricks was called, the new one, called the cafetorium.
There we go.
So we had the cafeteria there, and then the stage was there. So that's where I starred in our Miss Brooks. So I may have told you about that.
I think you have. So we'll move right along. Without any details of that production. It was fun on Friday night, just because my youngest son had played basketball at what was then Arkansas Baptist High School, now Baptist Prep. But to watch Baptist Prep win a second straight state championship with Connor Vanover, who is only a junior, he is 7'3", Paul, and as you saw, a legitimate 7'3".
It's a legit 7'3", it was pretty impressive. But he wasn't the MVP.
No, a sophomore was.
A sophomore who was a fantastic guard.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a great game, too.
Yeah, it really was a good game. And that one, I actually had a rooting interest and really got into that game.
Now, what was it the old gentleman behind us said?
Well, I was going to say, going back to, we've talked about our Baptist roots before on this show, and there was a shot hit from outside that really, you could tell, with about a minute left, had wrapped it up for Baptist. And one of the gentlemen behind us, you certainly could tell he was Baptist, because when that shot went through, Paul, and I know you appreciated this, your dad having been a Baptist music director, he said, with every head bowed and every eye closed, one more verse of that "Just As I Am."
That was perfect for that. Yeah. Baptist Prep, perfect.
Yeah, his way of saying it was a night for the Baptist to celebrate.
It was a great game, though. Was that our last one of the evening?
One of the evening. And after Baptist won, it was time for the Irish side of me to come out and head to a bar. Actually, we sat there because we wanted to watch the Razorback game as they beat Ole Miss in a great game. But we walked. Again, that's the great thing about downtown Hot Springs. Yeah. You can just walk everywhere. And we walked over to the Steinhaus Keller, the German restaurant there at Spencer's Corner. and it was outstanding.
Legendary bartender.
Yeah, Brett.
Brett, and we just had a great time and watched the game, and I had the bone-in pig shank that was fantastic, and a German beer of some sort that was a lot, I'll just say that. it was a glass full. But we shut it down. I think everyone was gone but the owner and Brett and we
got to thinking, that used to be the Brau House, and then they changed their name to Steinhaus Keller. But, you know, there's been a German restaurant there for quite a while in Hot Springs. You've got Emma's up in Fort Smith, which has been there for a number of years. And, of course, they're near Altus in Whitaker Village on the Whitaker grounds. You've got the Whitaker Weinkeller there in the old cave. But outside of that, can you think of any German restaurants in Arkansas?
I'm not sure that there is another one, We'll probably get
about three.
Probably our secretary down at the Chewing the Fat offices probably get a lot of phone calls.
Yeah, exactly.
German restaurants
that we missed out on.
But I think
those are certainly the three that come to my mind
exactly,
when thinking of German food.
Well, it was
in
good stuff. It was obviously well prepared, and it's a huge restaurant. A lot of people in there. And then to watch the game, and we were all, the owner was as rabid as we were, and there was a lot of slapping of hands on the table.
You're listening to Radio Cals on KABF 88.3 FM, Little Rock.
The Arkansas World War I Centennial Commemoration Committee and the Old State House Museum will host Arkansas and the Great War, Remembering 1917, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, April 8th at the Old State House to kick off Arkansas's remembrance of the war's 100th anniversary. Join us as we commemorate the centennial anniversary of the United States entering World War I. Activities will be ongoing throughout the day. Living history interpreters will portray the men and women who helped with the Great War effort. Experience World War I doughboy training and learn how the women of the Red Cross and the women's suffrage movement participated. The UALR Jazz Ensemble and Michael Karenbauer Jazz Group will play music from the era. Admission is free. Visit wwiarkansas.com or call 324-9685 for more information.
I recently wrote one of my newspaper columns about St. Mary's Mountain there overlooking Altus, where the beautiful St. Mary's Catholic Church is. And I think you'll agree, one of the favorite views in Arkansas is from the parking lot of that church, looking out across. But, you know, one reason we had so many German immigrants to Arkansas is that the railroads back in the 1800s advertised for them. The railroads were allowed to develop the right-of-ways on either side, and they needed people to do that, so they advertised cheap land and lots of opportunities in Arkansas, and we ended up especially over, we mentioned restaurants there near Altus and in Fort Smith, over in that part of the state, is the old Little Rock and Fort Smith Railroad.
You'd think there
recruited
would be
a lot of those Germans
in Stuttgart, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
there'd be some tradition there.
But
I'm not aware of one at all.
Yeah, of the ones that came to the Grand Prairie. Yeah, but
What's the name of the little Catholic church there in Hot Springs around the corner from where we were?
St. Mary's.
St. Mary's,
there across from the old Majestic location, which is a beautiful little church. St. John's is, of course, also a beautiful church downtown over on Albert Pike. It's much larger than St. Mary.
Yeah.
But both beautiful churches. So we had our German food, as you mentioned, the next morning after stay at the historic Arlington. Now, you and I decided they still have live music in that great old lobby on Fridays and Saturday nights. We had shut down, let's put it that way, the German restaurant because we wanted to see the end of the Razorback game. So it was me, you, the bartender, and the owner that were still left there. And we walked back and listened only to a few minutes of music. Maybe the Chewing the Fat Boys are getting a little older. I couldn't make it past 11 o'clock, though, Paul.
And plus, I was afraid someone was going to ask me to dance. There was some pretty serious dancing going on.
There was.
Ballroom-type dancing. But I was encouraged, though, because the dancers were quite talented, and they were all about 20 years older than me, even. So I thought, okay, I still have a chance to learn to dance. Yeah. It's a great, had a little trio, a drummer and a guitarist and a bass. It was just really nice. Great bar, great atmosphere there.
Up bright and early the next morning for breakfast, and again, any list of the classic breakfast spots in Arkansas. We mentioned the Pancake Shop and the Colonial, where we ended up. Both those places have to be on the list,
Oh, yeah. The food is, the quality is fantastic. I had, you got to get pancakes. So I had pancakes.
I had waffle.
Wonderful.
There, yeah.
And I had ham. And my ham was just a big, thick hunk of ham. It wasn't a little cheap grocery store sliced ham. It was a piece of ham. It wonderful. And I like my eggs sunny side up. So, you know, you don't want to overcook the eggs, for crying out loud. Salmonella can be beneficial, I think.
Yeah.
Some evidence of that. Need to stir that around. So that started the day, and we still had
and
time.
And we watched a couple of basketball games, and somehow we were hungry again for lunch, a late lunch, albeit.
It was very late.
About 2 o'clock, but we wanted to watch the Razorback game again. So we slid over to the hotel connected to the convention center there that was originally the Hilton, and then for many years it was the Alston. But it was bought by a developer out of the Nashville, Tennessee area named Gary Gibbs. It's now the Hotel Hot Springs and Spa. And they've got a sports bar in there with about 40 screens.
At least, excellent.
Cheeseburger. But again, talking about money now being invested in downtown Hot Springs, great job of renovation on that hotel.
It really is a first-class place. I was really impressed. And had it been warm enough, they had outside patios there. It would be a great place. And so now it's connected to the convention center, so they've got it bookended.
They've got the Hotel Hot Springs on one side. They've got the Embassy Suites connected on the other side. So when Mr. Harrison and his crew go out, now you've got two really first-class hotels that you can offer to conventions. So Gibbs, by the way, the guy that developed the Hotel Hot Springs, is the same developer, Paul, that built the Delta Resort and Spa down near McGee.
It's
a major draw now for Southeast Arkansas.
Sure is,
An area that we don't often talk about unless we're talking duck hunting when we're talking tourism. But that resort is kind of focusing on shooting sports. Some of the Olympic trials were down there.
We're down there, yeah.
Actually, for shooting.
What is the little town that's it's by what's the hometown of Charlotte Sex?
Tiller.
Tiller. It's near Tiller, isn't it?
Was Charlotte's maiden name.
Maiden
a long
name, right.
time
right.
publisher of the Dumas Clarion, Charlotte Tiller.
Well, they've done a great job with that hotel.
I mean,
it's just a trend that's going in the right direction. But I guess it was Saturday that we saw the 7A Girls Championship game, which to me was
Fayetteville over North Little
Fayetteville
Rock.
Fayetteville over North Little Rock. And, you know, it's we all are grown up with our things that we're used to. And when I was in high school, girls played 3-on-3. So it was different.
Mm-hmm.
And these girls at the Fort Smith Fayetteville game, I mean, this was serious, really good basketball.
Oh, absolutely.
Not only were they well coached, but they were talented basketball players. I was really impressed with both of those teams. The Fayetteville team that ended up winning by maybe 10 points, but it was close in. The MVP was a freshman, 6'1" freshman that had a lot of talent skills. She'll be playing college for somebody, and next for maybe the new Razorback coach will start recruiting her.
Whoever
that's going to be.
Yeah.
Maybe they could look in the high school ranks. I don't know whether that works out very well, but it was a great game, though. I was really impressed with them, and heartbreaking loss, and I guess the Fort Smith North Side and the North Little Rock boys was also a heartbreaker. Went down right to the end.
Right to the wire. Great game.
Still at the end. But to watch the kids celebrate, and it was just a wonderful time for basketball fans.
And then somehow, Paul, we had room for supper.
Some of us had room.
Although, that's what I was going to say. We went to Bel RT, which has been an Italian place there for many years. Great, great old building. It's kind of like stepping back in the 30s to me,
that atmosphere in there
in that restaurant. But Paul, a very, very disturbing trend here. We mentioned the Lillo's incident a while back down in the Mississippi Delta. And this disturbing trend is, and we mentioned the Burger Challenge, where your son Josh and I completed the Burger Challenge during the summer, eating the big burger at both the Catawpa store and the OARC store, which are only a few miles apart.
Yeah.
But this disturbing trend now, yet again, Paul, the last meal of a road trip And you didn't eat much of it.
I couldn't swallow. Really, I could have, but I wanted to take it home to Jen.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was
twirling. Yeah.
I got the, I thought, well, because Rex, we had lunch at like 4 o'clock.
It was 2 o'clock.
Well, it's okay too. So I thought, well, I'll get a salad and some tortellini. So I had a salad, which was, you know, modest. Well, the tortellini was just like a giant mound of tortellini. Probably 500 little tortos running around in there.
Baby tortos.
My goodness, it was a lot of food. So Jan, I think, is still eating on it.
Yeah.
But it is, and we sat at someone's memorial table.
Yeah, it had a little plaque
about it. You couldn't tell who it was, but... Yeah. Probably some mobster that had been murdered there or something. I don't know. But it was a bustling, happening night upstairs and
downstairs.
It's
race season and state championship weekend, both in Hot Springs. But, yeah, Lil O's in Mississippi, the O'Ark store. I'm keeping a list, Paul. Yeah. Now Bell RT in Hot Springs, where you're not finishing meals. Well, I mean, you're embarrassing me.
At least I didn't fall asleep driving back.
That's true.
Talking my sleep.
Which was an improvement over the Hemingway trip. Yeah.
Over the near death of... Yeah, that's the one where you said, I wonder why we were going 45 down 67. So we didn't do that.
Just when we'd been talking about our warm winter and thinking it was spring, here we are driving back in mid-March and in rain with temperatures in the mid-30s. A few degrees lower and we'd have had ice
Saturday
night.
I bet
night.
That those Jonesboro folks, who I'm sure drove back to Jonesboro
night.
Friday night, had a hard time. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to mention that we noticed in the Italian restaurant that night, so you had people like us dressed very casually. In fact, most of them were. But there was an older couple there. He had on a suit and tie, and she was dressed up very nice in a nice dress. And, you know, they had dressed up to go out to dinner.
I like that.
I did, too.
Yeah.
It looked real nice.
And people don't do. We live in such a casual society. We pointed out at the table next to them, three of the guys had their caps on inside.
Right. And next to that couple.
At the very next table, this couple just dressed up. Yeah. They're finest just to go out to dinner. So certainly the difference in generations. Now, before we move on, a tip to the wise for those listening in Central Arkansas. I would highly suggest from now, probably until the end of next year, frankly, when they finish the line.
You've been listening to Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, a regular feature on Radio Cals. That's Rex Nelson, head of corporate communications for Simmons Bank and writer of the food blog Southern Fried. And Paul Austin, executive director of the Arkansas Humanities Council. To hear this and other great Chewing the Fat episodes in their entirety, subscribe to the Chewing the Fat podcast at cals.org/podcasts.
Want to know what's happening in the world of cows? The new programming guide will help you navigate the variety of youth and adult programs, book clubs, movies, and more across Cows' 14 branches, the Ron Robinson Theater, the Butler Center, and River Market Books and Gifts. Look for the programming guide in a branch near you or visit cows.org. Radio Cows is a production of the Central Arkansas Library System and its Arkansas History Department, the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies. For more information, visit cows.org and butlercenter.org. Our producer is Glenn Whaley, and our production manager is Brett Ratliff. Voices by Jasmine Jobe and John Miller. Engineering and editing by Brett Ratliff, Michael Stotz, and Anna Lancaster. Our executive producers are Leanne Blackwell-Hoskin and David Strickland. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week Wednesday at 6 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 Little Rock.